Well, what's with all this rain? Are warm temperatures finally here for good? And one more question, what's the prognosis for tornado season this year? Our weather guides today are Andy Bailey. He's the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration based here in Kansas City. Andy, nice to have you.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
Judd Knieven's also here. He's chief of the Emergency Management Branch for the Kansas City District of the Army Corps of Engineers. Judd, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks. And Andy, let me start with you. What's with all this rain? I mean, the forecast is for rain all week. Why are we stuck in a rainy weather pattern?
You know, the simplest answer is it's May. You know, that's just kind of what
not
happens.
Complicated.
Not complicated. No, that's generally what happens. You know, we get stuck in these patterns every now and then. We've got a big low pressure system over the western U.S., and what that does, it gives us a lot of southerly flow. Most of our rain comes from Gulf moisture that works its way up into the Midwest. So when we have one of these setups where we've got all that low pressure out to the west, it just pumps Gulf moisture right up into the plains in the Midwest. And once that happens, it's kind of like wringing a sponge out. It doesn't take a lot in the atmosphere to get the rain going.
So this is par for the course.
It really is. Now, we are above normal for rainfall for you know, March, April, and May.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the unusual thing for us here is to be above normal rainfall and yet have a relatively below normal severe weather season.
You know,
we haven't had a lot of warnings, haven't had a lot of severe weather in the Kansas City area, but we have had a lot of rainfall.
What caused the concentrated band of rain that moved through the heart of Kansas City, you know, Monday, dumps 4 inches of rain here in one afternoon, while just outside the metro, it just barely got a sprinkling?
You know, storms tend to form along boundaries, and we had a cold front that just eased into the metro area, kind of from southwest through northeast, and it just parked itself over the metro area. Those storms were riding up along the cold front themselves. That cold front acted like a focusing mechanism. So when that happens and the storms are moving along the front, you get what we call training thunderstorms, because the storms just go one after another over the same locations riding along that front. And so you end up with a lot heavier rainfall concentrated in a narrow area like that. Whereas I live in Pleasant Hill, I think I got a couple hundredths of an inch, and that was it.
Yeah, Danny Alexander, our producer, got hardly any rain out in Raytown. How much of the rest of the country is enduring a similar rainy surge here?
You know, it's really been concentrated mostly in the Midwest in the last couple of months. The interesting thing is we were talking drought just as recently as late April and early May. South of the Missouri River in Missouri, they really hadn't had much rainfall.
I remember.
Yeah, and so even in Pleasant Hill, as close as Pleasant Hill, which is only about 30 miles from where we sit right now, we were struggling for rainfall, and it was starting to show in the plants, but that's well behind us now with the rainfall that's spread over the last couple of weeks.
Judd, let me get you in here. How about the threat of flooding with all this rain in the Kansas City area? What can you tell us about that?
You know, we closely monitor it. It's anytime you have a prediction of thunderstorms, particularly in the springtime and early summer, it's going to pique our attention. So this year, unlike most years, you know, our real threat of flooding is from localized heavy rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
We don't normally have to worry about flooding that's induced by snow on the upper plains or snow melt coming off of the Rockies. And this year's shaped up just like that. So what we're looking at is localized heavy rainfall. We've hit flood stage multiple times this last month on the Missouri River. Right now we're hovering just below. But, you know, the outlook is right now is that we're not expecting much out of these systems that are developing and dumping rain. The nice thing about them is that they're not continuous.
Right.
But we get a little break, so water levels come up, and then they recede, and that really helps us out.
Our phone number here, if you have questions about the weather and forecasting the weather, 816-235-2888. Let me go to Paul from Raytown. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. My question is actually a couple of weeks now. I've been frustrated in trying to find a rain gauge that is as accurate as possible.
Ah.
Are you able to tell me if the AMS sponsors any particular rain gauge?
Yeah, not really, but I'll tell you how to get one. And if you're really interested in the weather, there's a program called COCORAHS, which is a funny word, but you spell it COCORAHS.
Okay.
If you Google that, you can go and you can join their Rainfall Reporting Network, and they have a very accurate It's called a 4-inch rain gauge. It really measures rainfall up to, I believe, a foot. It's just 4 inches in diameter. And that particular rain gauge is going to be very high quality. It will measure to the hundredth of an inch. I have one. I've used one from them for about 10 years now. I think it's around $30, but it's a very high quality, accurate rain gauge.
Well, my other question is, as I always assumed that it was inches in height, why do we measure rain in inches and not, for instance, milliliters?
Because what we're doing is we're measuring the depth of the rain that fell. You really don't need a fancy rain gauge. You could have a 5-gallon bucket, stick it outside, and just measure with a ruler. As long as the opening on top, if the diameter is straight all the way down, or the diameter is consistent all the way down, so you have a cylinder, if you do that and just measure the height with a ruler, you'll get a rough idea of how much rain fell. It's just with these other rain gauges, they have a wider opening and then a much narrower collection area, which allows you to read it to the nearest hundredth of an inch.
That's interesting.
That is great. Thank you, guys.
Paul, good luck. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Judd, I'm wondering about where the Corps gets its weather reports from, you know, the national, NOAA, or do you have your own meteorologists?
NOAA, National Weather Service, their official forecasting agency for the government. So we rely heavily on them. We do have our own water management folks, and we work interactively with the Weather Service, usually on a daily basis, particularly when it comes to forecasting river levels. When we talk about our reservoir levels too, we're actively involved in that because the water we release will directly impact stages downstream. But yeah. So, yeah, we work directly with the Weather Service from a forecast standpoint.
I've always been curious about this. How does the Corps monitor the river?
How do we monitor?
Yeah.
It's pretty much like everyone else. We use open source information, so local news broadcasts, national, regional news, websites. We rely heavily on websites anymore. And then we have a lot of levee sponsors and stakeholders out there that will actually call in and give us information about local conditions where they're at. But those strong working relationships that we have with the National Weather Service, particularly the Missouri Basin River Forecast Center in Pleasant Hill, the U.S. Geological Survey, and then FEMA Region 7 and the state emergency management agencies really help us focus our attention where it's needed.
So how often do you all measure the levels and at how many locations?
Well, it's the National Weather Service, and the stream gauges are funded by various agencies. So the National Weather Service or NOAA doesn't fund all of them. Some of them are funded by the USGS, the Geological Survey. Some of them are funded by the Corps of Engineers. But the Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, they monitor 449 gauges throughout the Missouri River Basin. Usually that data is collected in about 15-minute intervals. When the public sees it, it's posted hourly, so they don't see the 15-minute intervals. But they're monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's a lot of data out there on our streams, particularly on the stream height, the gauge height, and then on the discharge, which is the flow
right
that's carried within the stream.
Let me go back to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. Flo from Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning.
Good morning. Greeting host team. Good morning. Yes. My question is, are the Earth's warming changes affecting the established science of weather prediction for our human population?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me go to Andy Bailey with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, global warming and how it affects weather forecasting.
You know, it really, on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't. They're really, when we talk about global warming, we're talking about climate and we're talking about temperature changes averaged around a globe over decades and centuries. When we're talking about forecasting the weather, I'm looking 7 days into the future and maybe a little bit longer, but that's it.
Yeah.
And so the two are really completely separate sciences when you get down to it.
Judd, I know you got to scoot in just a second. Just give me a sense. When does the Corps start to worry about the mighty Mo going over its banks, and what are the warning signs there?
Well, generally it's following those forecasts, but where it rains is important. How much it rains is important. The duration of the rainfall is important. So as your water levels approach flood stage, we start taking notice. And then once it gets above flood stage, then our level of concern goes up significantly, because at flood stage, you'll start to see water spill out of its banks. And then anything from 2 to 6 feet above flood stage will put water on levee systems. And once you do that, it presents a dangerous condition to those systems. And so that's when we are most interested in what the water levels are doing.
And just finally, what's the Corps been doing lately when it comes to flood control?
Flood control, you know, we that's kind of a 19th century term, but
yeah,
it's still a legal term, but we talk a lot in the flood risk management realm anymore, and we're very involved. That's one of the basic tenets of our civil works program.
Right.
And here locally, we have lots of projects. We're finishing up the Turkey Creek project, which is designed to reduce flood impacts to the Southwest Boulevard area.
How close are you to finishing that up?
Very close. It's got one phase left to be completed. The project itself consists of a walled channel, a natural channel, a tunnel, a levee, and then it's got these two giant storm interceptors that'll pull hillside runoff and dump that directly into the Kansas River.
And to what extent will that mitigate flooding along the boulevard that so many people have been concerned about for so many years?
Well, it should reduce it significantly. I think the project's designed for the 1% chance flood, which is most people would recognize as a 100-year event. So it's a 1% chance of occurrence in a given year. But we've already seen noticeable improvement just with the features that have been put in place. So we haven't seen the water running down Southwest Boulevard here in a number of years. The channel and the tunnel seem to be working quite effectively. As that line came through the other day, locally they were monitoring it and they're reporting back to the Corps, and they were very happy with how it was performing. It's not to say it's an end-all solution, because there's always an event out there that can be larger, but it's so far it's proving its worth. And then we have other projects around here, but dating back to 1993. Levee systems in the area had various performance issues, and so we're just now getting around to construction on some of those. So we've made some improvements in the North Kansas City levee system. We're currently doing improvements to the Fairfax Jersey Creek levee system, which protects the GM plant there in Wyandotte County.
Right.
And then the East Bottoms portion of the Kansas City levee system, which is over there near the Hawthorne Power Plant. And along the Blue River there. So lots of things going on there. One of the most important things that we're doing, though, now is risk communication.
Mm-hmm.
We're committed to ensuring that our own dams and the levee systems that we participate in our program are capable of functioning as designed. And so we're communicating the risk associated with those projects. We hold life safety as paramount. And we're supporting local decisions aimed at reducing risk.
Right.
So it's recognizing that it's a shared responsibility. And so we're closely working with all entities at various levels.
Well, that's Judd.
Sure that we're developing the proper solutions.
That's Judd Knieven with the Army Corps of Engineers. And Judd, I kept you longer than we said we would. I sure appreciate you taking some time.
Oh, you're welcome.
You bet. Thanks very much. Andy, you know, up until a few days ago, it's been a relatively quiet tornado season. Yesterday saw some monsters in western Kansas and elsewhere. What's the read now, you know, for the rest of the season?
You know, for us locally, there really isn't anything we can hang our hat on to say, you know what, we plan on seeing an uptick in severe weather.
You can't predict that kind of
activity? Not really. Not for a specific area and not on a seasonal basis. We can foresee trends in the data. For instance, coming off a strong El Nino like we had as we're transitioning to a La Nina out in the Pacific Ocean, that tends to mean we'll see over the long term fewer severe weather events, and that's what's panned out so far this year in the Kansas City area. But really, we're just one event away from this, you know, in people's memory being a horrible severe weather season. You know, one tornado through the wrong area and producing a lot of devastation would just cement this in most people's minds as a bad severe weather season.
You know, is weather more unpredictable these days than it was a decade ago? Is there a fundamental shift, or because you hear about global warming and all this weird stuff? Has it changed or not really?
You know, not in that direction. I would say it is far more predictable than it's ever been. And the weather forecasts are more accurate than we've seen ever. A lot of that has to do with increases in computing power. You know, we're continually researching weather patterns. We're continuing to increase the supercomputing power of our supercomputers out in Washington, D.C. The computer models are getting far more sophisticated.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we have... dozens of models that our forecasters use at our office. When I started in the Weather Service 23 years ago, we had two.
Wow.
And they were accurate out to about 36 hours. Many of the models now are accurate out to 10 and 15 days, reasonably accurate. So, yeah, it's incredible to me the advances that have happened in weather forecasting.
That's really neat to hear. That's Andy Bailey. He's the Warning Coordination Meteorologist for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration based here in Kansas City. Andy, thanks very much. Really enjoyed having you here.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.